Hello, I'm Larry Wilson, and welcome to this segment in our book review on the Purpose-Driven Life by Pastor Rick Warren. I'm here in Round Rock, Texas, visiting with Letty Kincaid and her family. And Letty has conducted several seminars on this wonderful book, and we are discussing and highlighting what we think are the critical points in developing a life that fulfills the purposes for which God created us. Good morning, Letty. I'm happy to be here with you, and I'm anxious to hear what you have to say about the book today.
Thank you, Larry. It is a pleasure to be here, and I am very excited to get into our next chapter because it is about how to be like Jesus, which is what the Holy Spirit is leading us to become.
You know, that's something in the Christian preaching and Christian teaching today that is not emphasized very often. That the real goal of Christianity is to produce imitations of Christ.
That's right.
Reflections of Christ.
Yes, and that goal has been lost today.
Yes.
And God wants to transform us to be a new creation. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, "Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So Larry, we are being called to get rid of the old self. We need to be made new, and it's a transformation process that is a growing process from day to day.
That sounds like change, Letty.
We're back to that word, Larry. We're back to change. We need to get beyond the mindset that all there is salvation. God wants to do more than save us. He wants to change us. We have to be willing to go there with God. And it's a very involved process in our lives, and it is a painful process.
Well, isn't going to heaven, isn't that a magic transformation right there?
Well, God will magically change us instantly, the Bible says, but in the meantime, in the meantime, the Holy Spirit is taking us through some character-building experiences.
God doesn't change our character at the second coming.
Right.
That's the key right there.
That's exactly right.
All of a sudden, I won't be able to play the piano.
No. No, we need, Larry, a new attitude. A new attitude, and that comes with a new heart. And this only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so that's where we want to talk about today, is how do we get there? How does this happen in my life today? There are people out there that want to become Christians and want to follow the Lord, but they need to know how to. How do I do it? So let's talk about some steps of how we can learn to trust God and to be empowered by His Spirit. The first way that we become more like Jesus is through obedience. Because obedience unlocks God's power in our life. He wants for us to obey without questioning, to just trust Him, to do what He's requiring for us to do, and then the blessings come from there and the growth and our faith grows.
Trust and obey?
Trust and obey.
There's no other way.
That's right. And Larry, obedience is how we cooperate with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It's a spirit of cooperation, and that is where God is leading us. The interesting thing is God waits for us to act first. Before the growth process, He's not just going to drag us through growth. If we're not willing to be obedient, God will leave us right where we are. And, you know, people tell me, but doesn't God accept me how I am? Absolutely. God accepts you right now, this minute, with all your warts, with all your problems. But God doesn't intend for you to stay there.
Well, what if I choose to stay there? Doesn't Pastor Warren have an out for those that just won't change?
No, he doesn't address what happens to those that don't want to change. That would be a totally different set of another study.
Okay.
For those that choose not to change, Larry, that's called rebellion. And so,
uh-oh.
Yeah, and we don't want to go there.
That's pretty harsh.
Yeah, it's the way of Lucifer. You know, my way. I want to do things my way. I don't want to change to become more like God. God says, my ways are higher than your ways. We need to look at God's ways. And the carnal nature says, do it your way. Your way's better. Your way's good enough.
So what you're really saying is that in the first step of coming to know God, which is obedience,
yes,
that if I am unwilling to obey, that it stops right there.
That's right.
And God stops the offer of salvation with it.
Yes.
In other words, if I cannot allow my attitudes and my heart to be changed and transformed, then God says, I'm sorry, but I don't have enough grace to save rebellious people.
That's right, Larry, because God is love, mm-hmm. and love never forces. Mm-hmm. Love is all about choice, and we truly have the choice to even to rebel against our Creator. It's the most amazing thing mm-hmm. when you stop and think about that. For those that want to learn to obey God, here are three practical steps or responsibilities of in becoming like Christ. Number one, Larry, is choose to let go of old ways. We have to quit talking about people and start talking to them. You know, we talked yesterday about learning to love mm-hmm. and having the interest of others before ours, learning to care about others and their needs. That is one of the things that we need to do. Let go of old ways. Let go of critical attitudes. Let go of judgmental attitudes. And selfish, more than anything, is our selfish attitudes, the need to please self and to gratify self.
But I've been this way all my life.
Yes, we have been this way all of our lives, but God says it can stop today. One step at a time, I'm willing to empower you. Larry, it's not something that we can conjure up. There's no conjuring here. God's willing to do it all for us if we are simply just vessels that he can work through. So he empowers us to be able to let go of bad habits and old ways, ways that are destructive to us.
In other words, if I've been some personality types struggle with being critical,
yes.
and condemnatory and gossipy,
yes.
And you know that it's not limited to females, you know.
Right. Yeah, that is a female thing, isn't it?
But yes. What you're saying is that in order to be transformed, I have to be willing to let go of some of these habits, some of these dispositions.
Right. We know, Larry, we talked about the things that drive our lives,
mm-hmm.
The five things that drive our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be willing to let go of those.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's been, if I've let anger run my life, or resentment, or fear, or materialism, or the need for approval, if I have let those things run my life, then I have to start letting go of those old patterns and let God renew me and give me a new attitude. And it happens through the pouring of love that God gives us. He lavishes us with his wonderful love, and if we're truly willing to follow him and obey him, that love flows out. So step at a time, we get rid of our old ways. Number two is we have to change the way that we think. We have to learn to build people up instead of tearing them down. And it is so much, the carnal heart feels so much better when it is criticizing and just beating somebody down.
Well, that would mean that would really eliminate a lot of the television and radio talk shows.
Yes.
I mean, how can I be entering into a mind, you know, of Jesus in exalting and lifting up and loving people when you listen to all the talk shows and they're nothing but tearing down the conservatives and the liberals, the Republicans and the Democrats? Everybody is biting each other with venomous words.
Yes.
And even our Senate and Congress on this very day are at each other's throats, you know, struggling for control, for power.
And that's the word, Larry, control. We have to let go of wanting to control and think that we know everything. We know best. Our way is the best way. We're all wired that way. If people only did this, if you would only follow these things that I'm telling you to do, your life will be so much better. when in fact it's not about my ways, it's about God's ways. And so we have to change the way that we think. So if we are truly wanting to learn to love, we have to quit tearing people down. It's just a choice that we have to make. We have to develop new godly habits. That would be the third thing. And how does that start? By going to God's Word. The New Testament, Larry, is full of ways in which God wants for us to change, how He wants for us to live. And understanding the Gospels and Jesus came to live out the life that He wants for us to live, that's where we need to start.
What kinds of habits can I begin to focus on? Can you give me a couple of examples?
The biggest habit is practicing God's presence, is talking to Him. That is our connection to change.
Okay.
We can't change without God.
Right.
We cannot change without the Holy Spirit's power in our life. So that has to be number one. We have to be willing to change our priorities. You know, if I'm used to getting up in the morning and just going 90 to nothing and turning on Good Morning America and or turning on the radio shows and get my mind full of worldly things, I'm not starting my day with the Lord. And to me, it's so important to start the day with the Lord. So changing my priorities in the way that I invest my time and starting to spend time with God.
Well, if you turn on the television or the radio, you're actually being stimulated and drawn into the things of this world.
Yes.
And the ways of this world.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, would it be a good habit, for example, while I'm fixing breakfast or while I'm doing some chore or whatever, I could put on a Bible tape.
That's right.
I could play Bible verses. If reading at that hour is not a habit.
Yes. Or praise music, Larry. Music is a wonderful thing. And,
yes.
And some of us may need to develop new habits in the music that we're listening to.
Yes.
That mm-hmm. we are listening to music that is uplifting and praising to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
There are many little things that we can do to develop new habits that take us on our journey to the Lord rather than allowing the world to pull us away from the
mm-hmm.
Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that we can do is making time to pray for others. We are mm-hmm. so self-centered. Lord, I need. Oh, please, Lord,
mm-hmm.
help me. Help me and I need.
Mm-hmm.
But to make an effort to learn to care about the needs of others, we need to take our attention away from ourselves. So not only praying for others, Larry, but learning to listen to others.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us want to just pour out, oh, I had a horrible day. You're not going to believe what happened to me today. Rather than making it a practice to say, how are you doing today? Did you have a good day? How is your journey with the Lord going? Learning to listen to others. And then, guess what? We can encourage and build up because we are allowing God to give us opportunities for somebody else to share with us.
But I love to rehearse all of my problems. I just love going through them and repeating, you know, all of the things that have offended me and made me mad and all the things that have hurt my feelings. And so how do you give up that self pity, that nurturing the injured one?
Well, it's just like we're going to go back to number one. Choose to let go of old ways. B, change the way you think. 3, develop new habits. And we really need to learn that.
Yes.
I choose to let go of these old ways. Larry, it's a choice. I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to change the channel. I'm going to do something. I'm going to get up right now because these thoughts are entering my mind. I'm going to go turn on music. I'm going to go and garden. I'm going to go practice my musical instrument. I am going to practice changing. I've got to practice change. And it's going to take an effort, Larry. It's not something that God's just going to, you know, wave his magic wand and poof, I am now a new creation. It is going to take effort. That is why people don't want change in their lives. Change means pain.
Yes, it does. I've noticed that when people go to church or to religious services, they always park in the same spot. They always sit in the same seat because change is difficult. And if this is true in our physical way, it indicates, you know, and our brains are usually in control, usually. That would suggest that our brain really does resist change.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
that's,
I mean,
right.
Cultivating a new habit, I have heard, takes at least 6 weeks. At least 6 weeks.
Yeah, the Bible talks about patient endurance a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to patiently endure day after day after day, and as God is changing us, because it's painful and it takes time, and Larry, it's effort. And we're so used to investing everything in ourselves that learning to express love outwardly is going to take some time. But if we press forward, I mean, I look back and see all the change that God has made in my attitude, and that is where it is. Changing my attitude so that I am willing to go through these changes and truly being willing to see myself for who I am was the key for me into letting God unlock that and you used the term yesterday to stand naked before God. And who wants to do that? To be seen for who I truly am, not with the face and the facade and, you know, that I wear, the mask I wear.
Yes.
And that is the beginning of change for us. You know, also, Larry, in learning to listen to people, it's not about people wanting you to solve their problems. Sometimes we have to learn to have a sympathetic ear. And when people pour out their problems, we don't need to start trying to tell them what to do about them. It's just learning to be sympathetic and care about others and not put it in our old gear. Okay, now, let me tell you what you need to do about your problem.
And don't come back until you have followed my suggestion.
Implemented it. Exactly. Because learning to listen to other people's problems makes us more aware of how we need to pour our hearts out to God about our own weaknesses and to be honest with God about where we are. Because, Larry, God sees us for who we truly are.
You know, surrendering to the Lord is all about giving up your attitude.
Yes.
That's the first step in surrender.
That's right.
That's the first step in becoming like Jesus and having the joy that Jesus had, that the fullness of life that he experienced, even though he knew that his purpose for being on earth, from age 12, when he went to the temple, remember, and
yes,
was lost from his parents?
Yes.
His experience right there, he knew that he had come to earth as the Lamb of God, that the purpose of his life was to die for our salvation. And you know, when he lived that purpose-driven life.
That's right.
From age 12, when it finally clicked in his mind that who he was and what his mission was and what he had come to do. You know, I've thought about Jesus living that purpose, you know, for 18 years or 21 years, as the case may be, before he actually died. And knowing that death was the reason that he came. That would be a hard thing to live because, you know, it's so contrary to the carnal way.
That's right.
We want life. But in order to have life, we have to accept life on God's terms.
That's right.
Otherwise, yes, the life that we live is death.
Yes. Yes.
The carnal mind, the ways of the carnal heart are enmity and death. But the spiritual mind is controlled by the Spirit, and that's the way of life and peace.
That's right. That's exactly right. And Larry, God molds us through his word, through people and through circumstances. So God uses people in our life to provide us with opportunities many, many times. That's how change comes. It's by giving us those opportunities to carry forth his love and to learn to put self back.
I know from things you have said in years past that my Bible study has impacted your life.
Yes.
And Letty, the converse is also true. Your study and your experience in God has impacted me. We do influence others and one another. We do make differences in people's lives. And so the reason that God, his purpose is that we learn to love as he loves, and that we learn to live as he lived, is so that we can influence others and be influenced by others as we continue this developing process.
That's right. And Larry, we can't practice being like Jesus unless we are in a relationship with other people. When Jesus was here, his life was all about relating to others, doing for others, being around people.
But I don't like people.
Oh, that could be a problem. If they could only be like me. Well, learning to become like Jesus is something that we're going to do for the rest of our life on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a process. People have asked, well, how long does it take to become like Jesus? And it's developing our character is going to take the rest of our life, because God's not interested in what I'm doing. He's interested in what I am, what I'm becoming, not if I'm out feeding people or giving money or doing things. Certainly that is part of the process that he wants for me to learn to do others, Larry, but it's in what, how my heart is being changed, how, what I am becoming. Am I becoming more Christ-like? So the character is what is important, because Jesus says he searches our hearts. He looks in our hearts. He judges the condition of our heart. And how scary is that, that Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful beyond all things?
You know, our character might be defined as the sum total of all our thoughts.
That's right.
Now, if half my thoughts are evil and bad and negative and selfish and carnal, I have a character that God can't use. Now, if I have a willing heart and I'm allowing him to change my character and to get rid of the garbage and to transform me by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit so that I can learn to obey, so that I can practice his presence, so that I can shut out the world and intake more, you know, of his ways and his thoughts, if I'm willing to let that happen, I will be transformed.
That's right.
By beholding, we become changed.
That's right, Larry. And our growth is not an automatic thing. It takes commitment. So if we want to grow, we have to decide to grow. We have to make an effort to grow, and we have to persist in growing. It's an effort between me and the Holy Spirit. I am committed to allow change. So once I understand that I have to develop new habits and change the way I think and develop new godly habits and put off my old ways, I have to make a commitment to the Lord to say, I want to live for you. And so, Larry, every day that we wake up, every morning when I wake up, Lord, today I want to do your will. I want to live for you. I'm willing to learn the lessons that you have for me to learn today. Teach me to love, Lord. Give me your love and teach me to share it with others today. It's a commitment that we decide and we choose to do every single day. Somebody may ask, how do I change directions? You know, how my life is so busy in this 24/7 world that we live, how do I change directions? Well, change starts in our mind. Always, change starts in our mind. So the way that I think is going to determine the way that I feel. And the way that I feel is going to influence the way that I act. And so I have to start thinking the way that God thinks. I have to start looking at life through God's eyes. And Larry, if I don't know God or about God, if I'm not spending time in his word, how am I going to know what direction to take? How am I going to be able to have different ways of thinking if I'm not willing to start reading and understanding what God wants for me to know about him? You know, it's wonderful to read books like The Purpose-Driven Life, but it has influenced my life because I have seen and come to understand who God is through His Word. You know, if it wasn't that if I'd started with that, I don't know that it would be as meaningful to me. It's meaningful because I've gone to know Jesus and His ways, and through prophecy I understand the big, marvelous plan and what God's willing to do for me. And that's why this book has been so powerful in my life, because the 1-2-3s of how to implement this life and how I respond to my Creator is so valuable.
Okay, Letty. This morning, as I was when I was taking a shower and getting dressed, I was thinking about our recent segments in this series. And I was thinking about how they relate to the Great Tribulation. And in the book of Revelation, you just hit on two key points. In the book of Revelation reveals, and Daniel, reveals God's big plan for the end time and how He's going to wrap up the plan of salvation and how it's all going to transpire so that His children can be prepared spiritually for these things that are coming. After thinking about that for a little bit, it made me smile to think about how that while God has the big objective purpose stated in the books of Daniel and Revelation, the subjective experience is loving as God loved. What's going to get us through the Great Tribulation? You've heard me say many times it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times.
Yes.
The best part of the Great Tribulation is that love.
Yes.
Will be shown, and God's love will be disseminated through God's children.
That's right.
And beholding that and seeing that in action and seeing that occur will be the most thrilling thing to consider. As we see how love and force,
that's right,
become actually the opposing enemies. The great consummation of sin comes down to a very harsh and cruel end. But those who love as God loves have joy in the midst of the storm.
That's right. That's right, Larry. And we're going to know during the Great Tribulation that Lucifer's ways, his ways that he so proclaimed to be better than God's, really turn out to be about force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not love, and not better in any way, because rebellion always winds up with force.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite of who God is.
The last resort of false religion is always force.
Yes.
And Lucifer is going to take control of the religions and the governments of the world, and he's going to enforce the mark of the beast. And you know, the whole idea of the Great Tribulation contrasting love versus force,
yes,
is what the story is all about.
That's right, Larry. It's an incredible story, and I hope that any of our listeners that have not yet read the warning book and are acquainted with the story, now's the time,
mm-hmm.
because time is short.
Mm-hmm.
And to understand God's ways and to see how marvelous His choice-making power that He's given to us to truly choose. And not only that, He gives us the Bible so that we can have the how-tos,
mm-hmm.
so that we can know how to be more like Him and how to learn to love and how to have productive lives. And I, were you saying, you know, thinking about the last couple of tapes, one of the things that comes really out in my mind, we've been talking about change a lot, and we're so opposed to change, but how change brings true joy to us. And it's just something you have to, if you've never experienced it, you know, trust God that He will take you to that experience.
Well, you know, when we change our clothing, we change our cars, we change our houses around, you know, change is all about new. improved, better. And change brings joy and happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And this is true in the physical world. It's also true in the spiritual realm.
Yes, yes. When we start understanding that Christianity is not about following a church or church traditions or church rules, but about following Jesus, everything changes because we start looking outside of ourselves. Church has so much become about doing within, building bigger and better, having more, bringing in new members, and living and becoming like Jesus has been put on the back burner, Larry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that learning to think of others is the heart of being like Jesus. And this kind of thinking is unnatural. It is countercultural. It is rare. And it is very, very difficult. Thinking of others in a world that screams out, "You're dissatisfying, aren't you? Look what I have. Try this. Buy this. Wear this. Drink this." In a world that screams out discontent, I can provide for you the happiness that you're looking for. Taking up the cross and following Jesus and being willing to lay down my life, my desires, my pleasures, my control is the hardest decision that I will ever make, but is the decision that will bring me the most joy. And the retirement plan that God has for those that are willing to lay down their lives for Him is incredible. You know, the things that we work so hard for in this world that we think we have to have, and we get so consumed with having a retirement and having this and having that, God has it all for us already, Larry.
You know, it's interesting. In the old days, retirement was dreaded. There was no Social Security. There was, only fear of bad health and an inability to work. See, retirement, the whole idea of retiring and living the leisure life and living the good life and being free of encumbrance, this is a recent development in world history. You know, it is not something that has been ongoing for a long time. And it's almost become the illusion that everyone sells their soul for.
Yes, yes.
They're trying to store up treasure on earth.
Yes.
Only to have it wiped away in a split second by an Enron collapse.
Yes.
How many people's retirement went down the tubes with Enron?
Right.
Or WorldCom, you know, or these other huge organizations. And if I understand the Bible correctly, they're all going down the tubes.
That's right.
There will be, you know, our retirement, Jesus said, don't lay up treasure on earth, but in heaven. And how do we do that? By loving our neighbor.
That's right. That's right, Larry. It is changing the way that we think and learning to think of others is the key in our everyday lives that's going to take our attention away from self. We have to focus on others. Matthew 4:4 says, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And I think, why today are people not reading the word? Because we live in a world that is full of stimulation. And to just sit down and have quiet time and let God speak to us through His word is just not stimulating enough if you are not being led by the Holy Spirit. So I can be a Christian going to church, Larry, and that is no guarantee that I am going to heaven. I may have made a commitment at one time, but if I am not living it every single day, I am living in a huge delusion.
Yes. I had a guy call me on the telephone the other day, and he said, "How are you doing, Larry?" And I said, "You know, for the last 3 days, I've been looking for something to do." And of course, he just cracked up, you know. He said, I don't think you're telling me the truth. And I laughed and I said, oh, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to hear?
Yes. Wouldn't it?
This world is so full and so consuming.
Yes.
That to spend the last 3 days looking for something to do, that would just be a treat.
Yes.
You know.
Larry, I've told my friends many times, you know, as when God brought me face to face with who He is and the change I needed in my life, I realized that even though I was doing quote unquote good things in my life and for those around me, I was not having an intimate relationship. It is so easy to be a doer.
Especially, you know, if you're type A.
Exactly. And I have many times shared, you know, those that know me well know that I love organization and order. And I run a preschool that is very organized, and we have a very good program. But thinking that that was enough ministry and enough doing in my mind was a misconception. It was wrong. Because we can be consumed with doing good things,
yes,
and not be connected,
yes,
to Jesus. And I've many times told my friends that, you know, one day I may stand before Jesus and He's going to say, Letty, you did a great job organizing your house and your school. Great job. Too bad you didn't have any time for me. I don't know you.
Yeah.
I don't know you. And so, you know, what are we consuming our time with?
Yeah.
If we're deluding ourselves that doing good things for others, mm-hmm, is good, and we're not spending time in God's Word, we are not being transformed by truth, because God wants to grow us in His truth, then we have missed the boat. We have totally missed the boat. I want to read something that I really like in Purpose Driven that Pastor Warren says about God's Word. He says, God's Word generates life, creates faith, produces change, frightens the devil, causes miracles, heals hurts, builds character, transforms circumstances, imparts joy, overcomes adversity, defeats temptation, infuses hope, releases power, cleanses our minds, and guarantees our future forever.
Oh, that gives me goosebumps.
Isn't that?
That's wonderful.
God's Word is everything to us,
Larry.
That's
an inspired statement.
It is. We cannot live without God's Word. It's like food for our bodies. We need to have it. And without God's Word, we suffer from spiritual anorexia. Truly. We're going to starve to death, mm-hmm, as Christians going to church, mm-hmm, from spiritual malnutrition.
I may be physically fat, spiritually skinny.
That's right. Yeah. We have to make time for God's Word. God says in John 8:31, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples.
You know, there's a famine in the land for the preaching of the Word of God.
Yes.
What I mean is that, of course, every Sunday and Saturday, as churches meet around the nation, there's talk about the Bible, but there's very little investigation into the Bible.
Yes.
Today's sermon is built around one text. Oh, great.
Yes.
We've come all this way to get a teaspoon of Bible. How sad.
Yes.
How sad.
Yes. Well, there are three activities that will help us to hold to God's teachings. Number one is I must accept the Bible as authority. The Bible is the authority in our life. And I have to be willing to accept that.
It's got to be the Word of God.
It has to be. It has to be the standard for my life.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be the compass that I rely on for direction.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be the first and last word in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I must accept God's Word as the authority in my life. Number two is I have to absorb its truth. I can't just read it, skim it, just because, okay, I'm going to read a chapter a day.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be able to assimilate it. I have to fill my mind with God's Word so that the Holy Spirit can transform me through truth.
That comes through searching for truth.
That's right.
Not reading words, but searching for truth.
Yes. And there are five things under how we absorb it. We have to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to read it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to research it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to remember it and reflect on it. And I like all of those things, the five R's.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do that again.
Receive it.
Okay.
Read it.
Right.
Research it.
Right.
Remember it and reflect on it. You talked about the meditation.
Yes.
Reflecting on God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
And then number three is I have to apply its principles to my life. When Jesus says, be an encourager, build people up, I have to apply that to my life. It is for me, not for my big mouth neighbor next door that I think it should apply to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the big mouth neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
It applies to me.
Mm-hmm.
Letty, change your words. Quit being critical.
Mm-hmm.
Build people.
Mm-hmm.
Be an encourager. That's how you can share God's love. Encourage.
And you know, Letty, that starts by first loving.
Yes.
Instead of loathing.
Yes. Yes.
We start, that it's an attitude. Instead of, I've decided no longer to hate my neighbor. I've decided to love my neighbor.
Yes.
And so I'm going to do those things that love will bring.
That's
and
right.
Eventually that love will then expand and grow, and my transformation will be seen by my neighbor.
Yes. Well, Larry, one of the reasons that people don't want to read their Bibles and study it and receive it and research it is because God's Word exposes our motives.
Mm-hmm.
It points out our faults.
Mm-hmm.
It rebukes our sins. And it expects us to change.
Mm-hmm.
And the carnal heart detests all of that because the Bible says in Romans it is hostile.
Mm-hmm.
Our carnal natures are hostile toward God. So exposing and rebuking me and pointing out my faults, no feel-good stuff in that. When you really look at it, that's the change that God wants in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So the three things, one, as we wrap up, I know we're going to run out of time, but that we have to, holding on to God's teachings means I accept its authority in my life, I absorb its truth, and I apply God's principles. I apply them every day to my life.
Letty, when if someone came to you and said, okay, I like what you say here, but how do I practice this? Where do I start with the Bible? Do I start with Genesis? Do I start with Numbers? Do I start with Revelation? How do I start? How do I come to the Bible?
Larry, if our goal is to be more like Jesus, we have to find out who he was. Go to the Gospels. Find out what Jesus was like when he was about, how he lived, what he spent his time doing, what his priorities were.
I guarantee you, 10 hours in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, will reveal a Jesus to you that is very different than the caricature of Jesus that we often hear.
That's right.
Today.
That's right.
I was stunned the first time I read the Gospel of John through. I read it in one sitting, the whole book of John. It changed my life.
That's right.
I saw Jesus as I never thought possible. It was a revelation that just was stunning.
Yes.
Well, Letty, we have expired this segment on our presentation. You have done such a marvelous job sharing this book report and the message and putting it into a synthesis for us that we could quickly begin to see what Pastor Warren has brought to the table. A powerful series of concepts of learning to love like God loves and learning to reflect the character of Jesus and becoming like him. Where will we go in our next segment? What do you want to talk
about? We're going to talk about trouble in our life.
Trouble.
How we deal with trouble in our life.
How to deal with trouble.
Problems.
Well, this will be, I'm excited to hear what you have to say. Well, may God bless our listeners, and we pray that this, too, has been an inspiration, and we'll see you in the next segment shortly.